Genesis chapter number 3. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word. I'm going to begin in verse number 6. In the previous 5 verses, Satan has come in the form of a serpent and has tempted Eve. He's saying that God is lying to Eve. He's saying that what God has told Eve is not true. And he's given an entire different answer, different suggestion towards what God has said to leave alone. Verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice. Now pay close attention to this. By the way, this is one of the most important Bible principles that can be taught. We're going to cover today. I want everyone to hear me. By the way, young people, don't be leaving the service. I have one leave, then I'll have another leave, then I'll have another leave. Sit real tight. I'm not going to be a long time. Listen up. Hear what God has for you today. Notice this. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his voice, this is always fascinating to me, hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. We're going to answer this question in our message this morning. Can a man hide from God? Can a man hide from God? Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd use the message, please, Lord, for our benefit. We pray for someone that may be here under the sound of my voice that's never received Christ as their personal Savior. Now, Lord, they may not understand the seriousness of this, but anyone that knows the Bible knows the seriousness of it. To be one breath, one heartbeat away from eternity, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you take the message and speak to their hearts. May today be the day that they receive Christ as their Savior. We thank you, Lord, for this one that's going to be following the Lord in believer's baptism today. We look forward to that at the end of the message. But now, Lord, please help us to focus our attention on the Word of God, on the preaching of the Bible. Lord, I pray, dear God, it go forth with power. Holy Spirit, please help. Take the Word of God, apply it, do a great work in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seen. And when I was a little boy, and I suppose everybody does this, all through our growing up years, we played on a regular basis a game that most everyone calls by the same title. That game is called hide and seek. Hide and seek. Now, I've talked and preached this message in several places around the country, and I've yet to find a corner of America where they do not play this game, and all of the rules are almost identically the same. It's amazing. Wherever you go, they know how to play hide and seek, and they have the same rules. Now, some of you played. How many played hide? Come on, at least one time in your life you've played hide and seek. All right, very good, good. Hide and seek. And something's going on back there. I don't know what's going on. Hide and seek is a game that us kids played growing up. And be honest with you, I'll tell you this. It's fun to play hide and seek, but the best time to play hide and seek is after dark. You want to do it after dark. That's like the coolest time. Now, it always took us kids, we'd get the neighbor kids together, and it always took us almost 20, 30 minutes just to get the game going because we had to argue about everything. First thing we had to decide was who was going to be, what do you call it, the person that's... Yeah, isn't that crazy? No matter where you go, everybody calls the person who is it, it. Well, nobody wants to be it, and you could understand if they picked a different name for it, maybe someone would volunteer, but who wants to be an it, you know? And so you got this big argument. No, I was it last, and no, you were it. No, I was it last. No, I went first last. Finally, somebody will go, all right, I'll be it. But the minute that he's it, he's mad about it, you know? It's just nobody wants to be it. No one likes being it. But somebody's got to be it. So we'd finally spend some time arguing and somebody would choose to be it. And then we'd start negotiating the rules. Even though we all knew what the rules were, we had to go back over them. And there was always base, right? And at base, whether it was a tree or a porch or whatever, it was supposed to close his eyes and count to a certain number. So it would always start the negotiation by saying, I'll tell you what, since I'll be it, all right, I'll be it, and I'll count. And I'll tell you what, I'll count to 10. And no, you can't count to 10. That doesn't give us enough time. Yeah, it does. I'll count slow. No, it's got to be 2,000. You're not. And I'm not counting to 2,000. They go back and forth, you know, 25, 1,000. And finally, we'd usually somewhere around 50, we would come up with a number. All right, 50, I'll count to 50. Then it would go like this. He'd close his eyes and he'd go, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Wait, stop, you're counting too fast. I am not counting fast. Yes, you are, you're counting too fast. You got to slow down. All right, I'll try it again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. No, that's still too fast. Arguing back and forth. All right, 1, 2, 3, 4. You're peeking. You got to turn around, face the tree, and put your hands over your face. I mean, it took us 20, 30 minutes just to get the silly game going. Finally, it is really in a bad mood now. And he's got his head against, he's got his hands over, he's counting slowly to 50. And we all, now listen, you can't just find a hiding place. You got to find like the coolest hiding place that's ever been found in the history of hide and seek, you know. Because there's nothing better than when a guy has searched and searched and searched and he can't find anybody and he has to give up. By the way, if he gives up, he's got to use a magic word to give up. And now if he just says, hey, come on in, your mom and dad's leaving. No, that's a trick. That's a dirty, rotten trick. He just went, and by the way, when I played hide and seek, if I had to be it, you know what? I just looked around. I didn't worry about the fast kids, the tall kids, the strong kids. I just looked for that short, fat, pudgy kid. Because I figured that I can catch him, you know. And even if he tries to hide, something's probably going to be sticking out. And I'd always look for the short, fat, pudgy kid. That's the guy I try to go for. But No, they had to say a special magical word at the end of the game if you wanted to come in. Now, is it the same everywhere? What is it? Isn't that crazy? I promise you, everywhere I've gone in the country, they all use the same word, all the oxen free. I don't know what that is, like abracadabra, some magical word. But if they say all the oxen free, then that means that you can come on in. And that is how we played hide and seek. You know what? When I read Genesis chapter 3, it's almost like we see a game of hide and seek going on between Adam and Eve and Almighty God. Now, if you notice this, I pause, but let's read these verses again with that in mind. And verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam, this is a fascinating statement, by the way, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to stop and think about this before you just blurt out an answer. Because if you're asked a Bible question, you ought to try to come up with a Bible answer. So make sure that you've got a Bible answer to this. Young people, I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to see how much you know, okay? Here's the question. Can a man hide from God? What do you think? What do you think back there? Tell me. No, you don't think so. Okay. Can a man hide from God? And yet we look here in this portion of Scripture, and I'll give you a Bible answer in just a second, but first of all, I'm going to challenge what you think. They said here in the Bible, it says they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. And in verse number 9, the Lord God calls unto Adam and says, what? What's he say? Come on now, what's he say? Where art thou? And then in verse 10, he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. By the way, I'm going to give you a Bible answer to that Bible question. The Bible answer is found in Psalms 139. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Now, folks, we just got a Bible answer to the question, can a man hide from God? The Bible emphatically says, no, you cannot go anywhere and hide from the presence of the Lord. Well, preacher, what exactly then is happening in Genesis chapter 3, verses 8, 9, and 10? I'll tell you exactly what's happening. By the way, let me just say this, folks. God does not mind being it. God does not mind being it. God had decided that day, the day that mankind fell into sin, God said, you know what? I'll be it. I'll go search for man. I'm going to go after man. I'm going to go find man. Now, here's the answer to our question, our seemingly biblical dilemma here. Listen, God knew exactly where they were. Well, preacher, then why is he coming down to the garden and saying, "Where art thou?" You know why? Because he knew where they were, but he didn't want to find them. He wanted them to love him enough to come and find him. You know what, folks? God, if you'll look in the scriptures, has spent, it seems like, since the beginning of time, the beginning of this world, being it. Let me illustrate this. Maybe it'll help you to see it a little more clearly. How many of you girls ever babysit? How many of you girls ever babysit from time to time? All right, you can put your hands down. Now, if you're a young lady, teenage girl, or maybe a mother or an aunt or something, and you babysit, and especially if you babysit a little toddler, I'm talking about 3 years old, 2 or 3 years old. They sometimes will say to you, "Hey, oh, you know, even they like to play hide and seek." They say, "Want to play hide and seek? You want to play hide and seek?" Now, let me just give you this: if they start asking, you might as well surrender, because a 2 or 3 year old is not going to stop until you agree to do it. So finally, you might as well just say, "Okay, all right." And you know what the 2 or 3 year old will say right after that? "You're it." Even a 2 or 3 year old don't want to be it, you know. "You're it." They always want you to be it. So you'll say, "All right, okay, I'll be it." And then you close your eyes. I'm going to close my eyes. "Okay, close your eyes. I'm going to count. Okay, going to count to 10. All right, here we go. 1, 2, 3. And you know what that 2 or 3 year old will do? They won't go anywhere. They'll sit down right at your feet, cross their legs, and do what? Take their hands and put it over their eyes. And they'll sit there and go, can't find me. You're going 8, 9, 10. Now, if you're a teenage girl, or if you're a grandpa, when you get done counting to 10, you go, "Where's Ariana? Where is..." Now, if you're a teenage boy, you get done counting to 10, you say, "Hey, stupid, I can see you. You're sitting right there." What are you, a moron? What's wrong with you? I thought we were playing hide. No, that's why we don't let teenage boys babysit for the most time. But if you're a grandpa or a teenage girl, you're going to go, "Where's Ariana? Where's Ariana?" And you know what? They'll sit there, "Can't find me." And then finally you say, "I give up. Ollie, ollie, oxen free." And they'll say, "Here I am." Then they'll say, "You're it." Right away, you're it again, you know. Now, let me say this, folks. That is a pretty clear picture of what was happening in the Garden of Eden. By the way, let me give you a verse that will astound you. Isaiah 53:3 says about Jesus, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our what? Faces from him." Now, let me ask you a question. All of you listening, look right up here. Are you getting this? Why is it that that 2 or 3 year old, why is it do they think that you cannot see them? Why is it that they think that you cannot see them? Because they can't see you. They cover their eyes, and because they can't see you, they think you can't see them. Folks, can I say this? We can laugh about that, think it's funny when it's a toddler. But we as Christians even act that way sometime about God. Lost folks act that way sometimes about God. They look around, they don't see God anywhere, so they just assume because they can't see him, he can't see you. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good thereof. Now, I want to talk to you about this question, and I want to show you in the scriptures that there is and has been this long-standing attempt from the beginning of the history of man, where men seem to think that they can hide from God. Let me say this first of all. Some try to hide from the salvation of the Lord. And again, God says, "That's fine. I'll be it." Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man is come to
seek and to save that which was lost. If you hear every once in a while a Christian give their testimony, they say, I sought for God and sought for God and sought for God and I finally found Him. That's not true. You may think it was true, but it was not true, because Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. And the honest truth is, from the moment you were born, if you're here today without Jesus Christ as your Savior, Jesus Christ, God and the Father has declared themselves it from the beginning of your life till now. They've been chasing you and coming after you and coming after you and coming after you. Why? Because they love you and they want to save you and they want to see you born in the family of God. And you know what? Please don't think me disrespectful, but thank God for the sweet Holy Spirit of God that's like that sanctified holy bloodhound that gets on your trail and just keeps coming after you and coming after you. You may think that you're here by accident this morning, but you're not here by accident this morning. You know what? God's brought you once again to a place to let you know, hey, I love you and I want to save you and I want to change your life and I want to give you eternity with me. God just will not quit going after a lost person till the very day that they either get saved or they die and end up in hell. God won't give up to the very end. You know what? But He still leaves the choice up to you. Say, preacher, lost people don't hide from salvation. Now, folks, listen to me. I've been in the ministry a long time. I've been a pastor for a lot of years. I was thinking the other day, this morning, I was preparing this message in my office laughing about this. I went to visit a house in Shelburne. A man who I wanted to witness to. Matter of fact, his teenage girl was going to the church here. She came home and said, the preacher's going to come see you. He's been praying for you and wants you to get saved. So I showed up on a day when I thought, according to her, that he would be home. Sure enough, all the vehicles were in the driveway. I walk up to the door, knock on the door like this. I step back away from the door as I always do. Big plate glass window. Folks, a big plate glass window looking right into the living room. I knock again. Nothing. I can listen and hear coming through the window. TV's blaring. I look over. There's a ashtray and a cigarette there, and it's on fire. There's a glass of iced tea, and it's half empty, and the ice isn't melted. And the rocker recliner is going like this. I mean, folks, I was born at night, but not last night, you know, and I knock again. And I'm waiting, and nobody comes. You know, I'll tell you exactly. Say, where were they? I'll tell you exactly where they were. The mom and the dad had the two kids, and they were in the bathroom, and they were holding their mouths. And they were going, shh, shh, quiet, the preacher's here, the preacher's. I mean, grown adult people are hiding. And how do you know that? Because that's where mom and dad used to hide before they got saved, when people would come. We always were in the bathroom when they were holding, quiet, the preacher's here, you know. And I mean, you look back after you get saved and you think, man, was I crazy or something? But the honest truth is, our inclination, listen, can I tell you this? They weren't hiding from me. There's just the natural inclination of man to run away from the God who loves them, to hide from the God that loves them. They were hiding from salvation. By the way, sometimes they don't hide like that. Sometimes lost people, people without Jesus Christ, their Savior, they hide in plain sight. I think we're going to get shocked when we get to heaven one of these days and find out how many people, please listen to this, were faithful to the house of God. And many, many times during invitation, the Holy Spirit worked upon their heart and dealt with them about the fact that they were religious but not saved. But you know what? They were too worried about what other people in the church might think. I want to share this story with you. I was preaching a youth revival in South Philly, southern part of Philadelphia, at the Southside Baptist Church in the suburbs of Philadelphia. Brother Unezi was there. And my goodness sakes, beautiful church right down. I mean, inner city church, beautiful grounds, beautiful building. Auditorium that seated about 500, walked in there jam-packed full of teenagers, and we had two or three days where we had some great services. But the first night that we met together, I preached a message that night. Really wasn't on salvation, even though I dealt with salvation for about 10 minutes. That wasn't the real crux of the message. When I began to give the invitation, just about the time I said, let's bow our heads and close our eyes, an adult lady about four rows back, standing in the midst of a bunch of teenage girls, come busting and tripping down the aisle, out to the aisle, came forward and literally collapsed
right there sobbing, and I never seen that happen like that. In that, I mean, my goodness sakes, you could tell she was broken. And I looked over, and the pastor was signaling for his wife, and his wife came over and knelt beside her. And I thought, well, maybe this is a visitor. Maybe this is somebody, that one of the mothers of one of the teenagers that's came. And come to find out, when it came time to explain what happened, at the end of the invitation, when they were given an opportunity to give testimony to what God had done in their life, this lady took the microphone and said, my husband is the youth pastor of such and such church, and I've been his wife, serving with him in the ministry for over 10 years. All through my growing up years, I knew I wasn't saved. When I was in Bible college, I knew I wasn't saved. And you know what? The honest truth is, for 10 years, I have been living a lie. And the devil would come to me, but boy, you better listen to this. The devil will tell you anything to try to keep you from being saved. He said, when I would think, I got to get this thing settled, I got to get saved, the devil would come to me and say, you're going to devastate those young ladies. You're going to appear to be a hypocrite. You're going to hurt them spiritually, maybe devastate them for eternity. So you can't do this. But she said, you know what? I came to the end of myself today. And I know that I'm lost. And I know that I've been living a lie. And I know I need Jesus Christ as my Savior. Boy, she through tears called out upon the Lord and claimed forgiveness through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And by the way, as soon as she gave her testimony, those teenage girls come busting out of that pew. I can still see one of the sweetest things surrounded this lady and began to hug her. And then here come the boys met over there with her husband. And man, they all got in a group. And you know what? Three other members of their youth group got saved that day. You know why? Because somebody that was hiding out from God right in the midst of serving the Lord decided, you know what? I'm just going to come clean with God. It's time for me to get saved. So I see through personal experience and I see through the scriptures that sometimes the lost try to hide from the salvation of the Lord. But can I just also deal for a few minutes this morning with we that are saved, with Christians? Yes, lost people sometimes hide from the salvation of the Lord, but saved people a lot of times try to hide their sin from the Lord. Somehow we get it in our mind that we have the same attitude towards God that Adam and Eve had, and we begin to think that, you know what, just because we can't see God, God can't see us. Can we hide as Christians our sin from the Lord? Does he know whether or not last week you were in church? Does he know whether or not you were doing right this week? Did he see when you cheated somebody? Did he see when you told a lie? Did he hear you when you used God's name in vain? We sometimes treat God like he's some old man that's a zillion miles away sitting on a throne. He's old and gray and half blind and he dozes all the time. No, the Bible says that our Lord slumbereth not, neither does he sleep. Can a man hide their sin from God? Well, the Bible answers that too. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Proverbs 5:21, for the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord. He pondereth all his goings. Jeremiah 16:17, for mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. Yet all through the pages of the Bible and all through the pages of man's history, we see illustration after illustration of people that were children of God that thought they could hide their sin from God. I could take you back, if we had time, to Joshua. Remember, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. They marched for 6 days around Jericho, and on the seventh day they marched around and blew the trumpets, and you know what? The walls came tumbling down. The commandment was this, since this was the very first victory that God gave them in the new land of Canaan, and it was the first fruits. Everything was sacred. Everything was supposed to go to the house of the Lord and to the priest. Not any person was to benefit from that first victory, financially benefit. There was a man by the name of Achan. Those of you that know your Bibles know the story I'm going to tell. But Achan went into Jericho. The walls are down. He came into a wealthy home and he saw there some gold. And the Bible says there was a wedge of silver and there's some Babylonian garments. Let me show you exact. By the way, I study human behavior. I'm a student of our human nature. Let me tell you exactly, without it saying in scriptures, exactly what Achan did. He saw those things that he was not supposed to have. And he did this. He looked this way.
Wait a minute, Aiken. Wait a minute. There's one direction you forgot to look. And too many times, young people, you're listening to me, where's mom and dad? They can't see me. You know what? There's a lot of times in your life that your mom and dad can't see what you're doing, but there's never one second in your life that God can't see what you're doing. Oh, I'll wait till the teacher turns his back, her back, or his back. Let me tell you this, God never turns his back. Oh, if we could just get a generation of Christians that would believe this one Bible principle that's proven again and again in the Scripture, and that's this. Folks, God's eyes are always upon us. May we live like God sees all that we do and hears all that we say. Oh, if we'd live like that, I wonder what a lost world would think. I wonder if they could honestly see us living for God as if we really believe in the God that we say that we believe. You know what, folks? Well, preacher, I'm involved in sin, and you know what? Nothing's happened to me so far. Proverbs 32:23, be sure your sin will find you out. Galatians 6:7-8, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Folks, listen to me. God's eyes are always upon us. Look right up here. I'm about to date myself, but in 1979, I went off to Bible college. I needed to get a part-time job my first year to help pay my way through college, so I got a job working at Kmart. Now, if you go into any department store now, young people, you see those black globes, those black balls that are hanging down from the ceiling? Do you know that those are not black lights? Do you understand that inside that, you know what's in there? What's inside those black balls? Yeah, there's a security camera in there, or maybe there's not in every one. Sometimes they put dummy ones out because they're cheap, and they don't want to put a camera everywhere. But you start to do something, you better look up, because there is a rotating, I'm going to talk about a 360-degree rotating camera in there watching people as they shop in these stores. And there's people that work for the security department of that department store, and they're watching monitors. And if they see something that looks a little shady or suspect, they're going to zero in on you and watch you. But listen, when I worked at Kmart back in 1979, no, that we didn't have that kind of technology back in the Stone Age, back in those days. But one of the things that my manager, I'd worked there probably about 6 months. The guy that was the manager of the store, he kind of took a liking to me. And one day he told me, he went by, I worked in back in receiving in the docks, and he came by and he said, "Hey, Jerry, come with me. I want to show you something." He went over to this steel door, unlocked the steel door, and opened it up. And it was a door that was right on the inside wall of the store. Right up the inside that door was some steel stairs, iron stairs that went all the way up to the top. I climbed there with him all the way. Now, at Kmart in those days, if you walked into the store, and you know, the big, tall building, right along the top of all of the walls, there were mirrors. Anybody here old like me and you remember what I'm talking about? Mirrors. Now, folks, those mirrors are not up there so that really, really tall people can comb their hair. That's not why they're there. They were two-way mirrors. And he got me up on a catwalk, and he started showing me. He said, "I want to show you something." So I walked up there and with him, and all of a sudden I looked out. Oh, my goodness sakes. And by the way, this catwalk went around three of the four walls of the store, everything except the front of the store. And we walked the entire length of that, and he was showing me that if he walked up there, him or some of the assistants, managers went up there, or somebody that works security went up there, they could walk around there, and they could watch everybody in that store. And I thought, man, this is so cool. And so I told him, I said, wow, this is really a great tool for being able to catch shoplifters and watch people that might be stealing stuff. He said, yes, it is. Then he looked at me and said, it's also a great tool to check up on your employees. And I start thinking of everything I might have done in the last 6 months. There was that one unfortunate incident where this really annoying girl that worked there over in the ladies' department, and I was cutting through the men's department, and she was always in a bad mood and nasty and mean. And so as I was going through the men's department, I picked up a 3-pack of underwear and whipped it across and hit her in the back of the head and then ducked down behind the clothes and made my way back. And I'm thinking, is that why I'm up here? So he can tell me, I seen you chuck the underwear and hit the girl. I'm sitting there thinking like that. Watch this. We went back downstairs. He locked the door. He said, "Man, have a good day." Every single time from that point on that I walked out into the store at Kmart,
First thing I did was I'd look up at those windows. And I'd think to myself, I wonder who's watching. Can I say this, folks? Watch this. It made me a better person. It made me a better employee. It, you know what? And there probably 90% of the time wasn't anybody up there. You know what? If we would just read the Bible and believe it and say, you know what? God sees everything I do. If we'd wake up in the morning and just look towards heaven and say, God, you know what? I'm not going to be perfect. I know I'm not. But Lord, I want to live in the light of this truth. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Lord, I don't want to do anything that would upset you today. I don't want to say anything that would bring a bad light upon the testimony of my God. Hey, Christian young people, listen to me. It's great that you come to church, and I'm glad you're here, and it's wonderful to have you. But how you behave here, let me ask you this. Is it reflective of how you behave on a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday? Listen, Christianity is not something that you throw on Sunday and wear for one day. Christianity is a 7-day a week 24/7 proposition. If Christ saved you, you're a son of God, not one day a week. You're a child of God every day of the week. Every single day we ought to walk out and live in such a way so that we bring glory and honor to our Lord. Can a man hide from God? Well, the Bible answer is plain. No, they can't. If you're here today and you're lost, you know what Jesus said? He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. I'll be more than happy the rest of your life to keep coming after you and coming after you and coming after you. But folks, listen to me. Come on, think a minute. You're here without Christ as your Savior. How many times in your life has God, in some way, through the testimony of a family member, through the testimony of a friend, maybe somebody hands you a gospel tract, maybe somebody talked you into coming to service like today, how many times has God come to you? Folks, listen to me. God is a long-suffering God, but there is an end to his patience. There is a day where you'll be offered salvation for the very last time. This might be that day. If you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, man, I don't know what you're waiting for, but if I was you, I wouldn't even wait till the invitation. I'd get up, come up right now. I'd say, preacher, I need to get saved. I'd find somebody. We'll find somebody. Take the Bible and sit down, show you how you can know for sure that if you were to die, you'd go to heaven. Know for sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior. And folks, listen to me. Come on. We're all humans. Christians, let's be real. Let's be transparent with ourselves and transparent with God. If we're living in such a way, or we've developed sinful habits in our life that's displeasing to the Lord, it doesn't matter one bit whether or not the preacher knows it or not. It doesn't matter, children, whether your parents know it or not. It doesn't matter whether or not any authority. Hey, husbands, maybe your wife doesn't know. Hey, wives, maybe your husband doesn't know. But I can tell you this, God Almighty knows everything. And you know what? We ought to be more concerned about what he thinks about our lives than what anybody else on this planet would think about our lives. Can a man hide from God? Well, the answer is no. Hey, lost person, have you been hiding? Isn't it time to say, ollie, ollie, oxen free? Isn't it time to just come out and say, Lord, you know what? You've been after me a long time. You died for me. You loved me. Salvation's plain and simple. I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know why all this time I've been running from it. But God, please, today, let today be the day that I'm saved. Christian, you need to get some things right between you and God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Let's sit real quietly for just a second. Don't stir around. Just let the Lord, for a moment, take the truths and fasten them to our heart. This is a time when the Holy Spirit of God, If we'll listen to that still small voice, the Holy Spirit of God will begin to deal with us. If you're here today with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're here today without Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me tell you this, God loves you. He loves you so much that he hasn't minded all of these years being it. He's come for you and come for you and come for you. But you know what? He's not going to make you get saved. That has to be your choice. But he's here today. I know it because the Bible promises where two or three are gathered together in his name. There I am in the midst of them. Jesus made that promise. Christ is here. His salvation is available for you today. If you're here today without Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't wait one more moment or one more day to be saved. Preacher, I've listened to what you've said. While you were speaking, God's been working in my heart, bringing me under conviction of my sin, bringing me under conviction of the fact that I'm lost. And you're right, preacher. It's time for me to get that thing settled. Preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not saved, but I need to be, and God is working on my heart. By the way, I won't embarrass you. I promise you that. I won't call your name. I won't come get you. We don't do that here. But I do want to pray for you. with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, nobody looking around. Preacher, I need to be saved. I'm not saved. And you're right, God's dealing with my heart about this. And if I died right now, I'm not sure what would happen, but I do need to be saved. Would you just slip your hand up real quick if that's you, and let me pray for you. And I won't call you by name, but I want to pray for you. Preacher, I'm lost. I got your hand there. God bless you. I'm lost. I need to be saved. Anybody else? Preacher, I'm lost. I see your hand. God bless you. I am praying for you. I am praying for you. Preacher, I'm lost. I need to be saved. I need to get this thing settled. God's dealing powerfully in my heart today. I see that hand over here, young man. God bless you. I got you. Anyone else? Preacher, I'm lost. I just need to be saved. I need to be saved. In just a minute, not yet, but in a minute, we're going to give an invitation. We're going to have the piano player play, not now, but in just a minute. As soon as the piano player begins to play, if you'll come to the nearest aisle and up to the front, we have men here that'll greet you. If you're a lady, they'll get a lady to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a man, either they will or they'll get somebody to show you how to be saved. Listen, don't put this decision off. If God's dealing with your heart, listen to Him today. Wait a minute, Christians. Let's deal with the Lord ourselves. Preacher, you're right. I am saved. If you asked me to, I could give you a clear salvation testimony. But the honest truth is, God's brought me under conviction today. There's some things in my life that ought not to be there. Just pray for me, preacher. Slip your hand up real quick. That's you. There's some things in my life I need to get got all over the auditorium to see those hands. Yes, 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 yes. Isn't God good? Isn't God good that He loves us and He brings a message like this from time to time to bring us aware of the fact that there's some things we need to get right? Anyone else? That's me, preacher. I need to get that straightened out. Lord, I do want to pray. I promised I would, so I want to do that. I pray for these three that I've seen, at least three. Maybe I missed somebody, but Lord, I pray for these three that raised their hands and said, I'm not saved, I need to be saved. I do ask, Lord, that you give them the courage to step forward. It's not easy to do that. Lord, I remember being under conviction. I remember being lost in a church service. But I remember that the first step I took towards you, God, you met me right there and helped me the rest of the way. And I'll never regret the day that I got saved. I pray that today would be the day of salvation in their life. And then, Lord, we pray also for these who you've dealt, Lord, your own children, dear God. Thank you that you never stop. You never stop. You're always willing, even when you shouldn't have to in our Christian life. If you have to be it, you'll be it. If you have to come in search of a lost lamb, or if you have to come to us when we're drifting away, Lord, you're never shy to do that. Thank you for loving us, wanting to keep us right with you. I pray for Christians, Lord, that may be dealing with some issues in their life. They need your help in, Lord. I pray that they'll find solace. They'll find help at an altar of prayer today. We pray in Jesus' name.